over a period of time, I've had several, I guess I could call them visions. Sometimes it came in the half sleep of mid-morning, you know, early in the morning, whatever. And last week when Phil talked about having chains on their wrists and being bound and shackled hand and foot and so forth, the Lord brought these things back to me because they were all along that line. Each of them had to do with us being lesser than what God has called us to be. The first time I was in Canada, and they told us to just rest before the Lord and let God speak to our hearts. And what I saw in my mind's eye was a scene where it was like a field. I knew it was a field. It was all in darkness. And the sky was like just at dusk. When the sun's going down, it's not quite night, it's not quite day. And everything was in shadows. And I had the sense that in the foreground, there were weeds and it was overgrown. It was very quiet and dark and lonely. And I saw these things, and at first I thought they were Eiffel Towers in a line going down through this. And some of it was silhouetted against the sky, and it seemed strange to me. But then I realized they were oil derricks, like the old West kind. Not the kind you see now, but they were like the old Western, in an old Western film. And I thought, Lord, what's up with this? And he said that they represented the church. I guess you'd say a church in decline, not necessarily this particular fellowship. And he said the night was falling. The night had come, but the dawn was coming. And then I saw this tremendous, it was like I was looking inside the center of the earth, this bubbling, boiling cauldron of flame and fire and power, and I couldn't think of another. It was stupendous, it was colossal, it was none of the adjectives that I could grasp could express what I was feeling that was there. And there was an urgency and a longing in it. And God wanted to come out. He wanted to break out. But he couldn't do it through what existed, through the church that existed, because they were stuck in old ways. And just like in the old West, if you can imagine, if you've ever seen a picture, they hit the gusher and the drill gets blasted right up through it and the derrick begins to be shattered, and they're all rejoicing and they're standing there and the oil is flowing freely, and they stand there with their hands out, with their faces up, with their mouths open, and they're being soaked in this crude oil and it's going all over the place. And then at a certain time that they're used to be rejoicing in it and they're happy in it that they got the gusher. And then they say, wait, cap the well. We've got to cap the well, quick, get it, cap the well. And they want to cut it off. And then they just put it in barrels and they package it and dispense it piecemeal. And what God, I believed, and I've chewed on this for a long time like a cow, chewing on her cud. And what I believe the Lord said to me was, the church is afraid to let me be who I desire to be. I want to come free, free-flowing, without control, beyond what you can understand. I want to take you beyond where you can understand. I want to take you where you can't control the flow. And it's not your concern whether everything gets oily and greasy. You're just to rejoice in this flow. And that's what God wants to do. Before this world ends, He wants a great outpouring of His glory. And then the second thing was, I had a dream where someone was holding a big, massive fire hose. I didn't see the person, but I knew it was the Holy Spirit. And it was like a mountainside. And he was blasting away. And there was great power coming out of this. He was taking down the trees and the bushes, and the topsoil was washed away, and the gravel underneath. He was going down into bedrock. And I descended into this vision. And it was a great a vein of anthracite coal. And it wasn't dirty. I'd been in a mine. My wife's people were from upstate Pennsylvania. And they have a mine you could tour. And it was dirty and grungy. But this coal was very, very clean. It was covered from ceiling to floor. And it was bright and shiny. And the Lord said that men look for treasures in the earth. Baubles, sparkling things, diamonds and gold and those kinds of things, but that he had a source of divine energy. That's what the coal represented. It was power. Coal generates power, divine power. And there was a man there laying prostrate, laying flat, and he had a slab of concrete or granite over top of him, and he couldn't move. And I wondered what that was, and I wondered what it was. Marna thought it was me. She said, "You're just caught up in your own insecurities or whatever, and I think that that's you, John. You need to break out." And I thought, well, okay, you know, I prayed into it. But then I believe that what God was saying was that our enemy of our soul has us buried and entombed. That we are to be buried with Christ. But his burial in baptism has a resurrection. It has a time, it's only a step to a greater glory. But the enemy of our soul can have us trapped and have us immobile, even in the midst of great divine power and purpose. We can still be bound up. And as the scripture, it's in Jeremiah, I think 23:29, where the prophet says, God's word is like fire and like a hammer that breaks rock. And I believe the Lord wants to shatter the foundations and the set positions in which we stand, in which we sit. Because he wants to take us beyond. And the third vision was based that Dick Watson was here one day, and Anthony Palandra, the service had pretty much ended. Some of you may remember it. And he was right where Stuart is. He was there. He was standing up. The church had pretty much emptied. And Nick turned to him and said, in words of effect, was signs and wonders, miracles, signs and wonders. And of course, Anthony said, okay, you know. But in this vision, I woke up in the night, and I laid back down to go to sleep. My ear began to itch, and I was scratching at it. And all of a sudden, it was like, I'm getting a word of knowledge. Somebody in church tomorrow is going to have a bad ear that needs to be healed. There's going to be healing for somebody's ear. But then I saw Anthony. He was standing right here. It was in the vision was the church, and he was standing there. He wasn't moving. He wasn't speaking. His hands were at his side. He was just there. And then a woman came. She came forward and she knelt down in front of him. And Anthony in this represented the signs, the wonders, and the miracles that God wanted to do. He was there. It's there for us. This is God's design, his desire, and his purpose for us as believers and as a church. And the woman represented the church. I was trying to think. At first I thought, well, it's that woman. Because she had dark hair. And I was paying attention in the sense that there's some gift or something for her. But the Lord said, no, that's the church. And as she knelt before him, she reached out and took Anthony's left hand and put it on her ear. Because the ear wasn't like having your ear tickled, like it says in scripture, with crazy notions and false doctrines. But it was an itch. It was an itch that needed to be scratched. There was a lack of satisfaction. Something needed to be satisfied. It needed to be fixed. It needed to be taken care of. And she reached out and put his hand on her ear. And she kept her hand and she held it there. And then she took his right hand and put it on top of her head. And she held his hand there. And then she began to demand and cry out with a cheekiness, with a boldness, with almost an arrogance. Give it to me. Give it to me. Release it. Release it. Release it. She kept calling on him. Release it. You must release it. I've got to have it. Release it. And the Lord said, this is what the church needs to do. This is what we all need to do. From the greatest to the least. Not just leadership, but all of us. That God is waiting for us. Anthony, in the vision, never moved. Never took any action. Never spoke a word. All the action, all the impetus, was on the church to reach out to him. And then finally, Phil said, people are shackled, hand and foot. We can't go where we want to be. We can't do what we want to do. And it's chafing and scarring and cutting, and it's infected and bruised. But the shackles are coming off. And it kind of put the exclamation point on all of it, because in all these things, there was something that God wanted us to do, place where he wanted us to be, and we weren't getting there. Sometimes it was our complacency that held us down. Other times, it was opposition against us that held us down. But the dawn is coming. The time is coming. God is willing. And I thought about healing of these wounds, because Phil had said, the shackles are off, but the wounds need to be healed. But we want to be careful not to let scar tissue form, because I think I have this right. The scar tissue loses its sensitivity. The nerves aren't the same. It's not regular flesh, and it's scar. And even though we're freed, we can still be in the same position to have our scars. Maybe even look at me. Look what I've come through. Look at the scars I bear. I bear the marks of Jesus on my body. But God wants to heal the scars. He doesn't want any loss of sensitivity. He wants us to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit than we've ever been, more open to his presence than we've ever been. And Jody Lentz, some years back, prophesied about we were not meant to bear the yoke. We were not meant to bear a yoke, but we were meant to bear the glory. We were meant to bear the glory. We should be bearers of glory, lights in a dark place and in a dark world. And someone said to me recently, heard this, you can only go as far as where you boast. What is your boast in? And this isn't meant to be critical of our fellowship, but so often we say, what a great church we have. What a great fellowship we have. It's so friendly. It's so giving. We're sending. We're generous. All these things are good and praiseworthy and noteworthy. But if that's our boast, that's all we're ever going to be, is a good, solid, decent, God-fearing church. But I believe that God has a vision for kingdom. That's the prayer. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. That your will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. And we need to make our boast in Jesus. Let him who boasts boast in the Lord. If we boast in the church, there's only a certain level that can go to. There's only a certain accomplishment. But when we boast in Jesus, he is limitless. He's eternal. Exceedingly abundantly above all we could think or even imagine, he's able to do. And that's what God's calling us to do in this time, in this day and age. It's a crazy world. We need to walk in the presence, embrace the presence, because in the presence comes the anointing, and the anointing breaks the yoke. And too many people can come into churches and find that it's nice and it's good, and the world around us is collapsing. It's warm and it's comfortable and it's joyous and it's all very nice, and the world around us looks like World War II. After World War II, a devastated Europe, a devastated landscape. And we say to the world, we have Jesus. And they say, so what? What good thing can come out of Nazareth? That's what Nathaniel said. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And what was the answer of Philip? Come and see. If we invited that broken world into this church, what would they see? What would they see? They need to see more than a good, decent people could give them. They need the supernatural testing miracles of God, defined as this. A testing miracle is a supernatural work of God demonstrating his redeeming grace. It's not about someone being on stage or anything. It's about bringing the glory of God to the people. That's what Jesus did in his first miracle in Cana. He turned the water into wine. Thus he did his first miracle and displayed his glory, and his disciples believed. We are meant to bear the glory of God, each and every one of us. Each and every one of us is called to go beyond where we are, no matter where we are. And it can only come as we yield ourselves totally to God's healing, redeeming power, and know that we need to be more than we ought to be, and we can be more than we ought to be. We need to be what we're called to be. Kingdom people. Jesus told his disciples, here's the deal. Go out to the people, and this is the message you give them. The kingdom of God is at hand. And then Jesus taught and did. That's the principle you see in Scripture. He not only taught, but he did. He demonstrated. He demonstrated what he taught. And he said to the disciples, tell them the kingdom is at hand, and heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. That's the mission. The message is the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is among us. And the ministry is heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out demons. I, for one, am not there, quite there yet. All right? But I want to go there. I want desperately to come. I got to see that. I've had bits and pieces of it. I've tasted some things. I've been in some meetings. I've been in some church fellowships. I've had experiences. But I have not sat down and had a full meal at the table spread before me. Please, church, let's not be complacent. Let's break out of our complacency. Let's break out of our gestalt. Let's believe God for greater things, greatest things, things beyond our understanding and things beyond our scope. I pray that our reach exceeds our grasp, that our reach exceeds our grasp, and that our boast is in the Lord, and that we see those things that come, because the world needs us. Phil had said before, sometimes some years ago, oh, what a good place we're in. We're in the west end, the west side of the city. We're on a great location. We have a great highway coming through, and so forth. It's the location of the church. And I believe that God wants to start and finish the West Gate Revival. We're at the western gate of the city. So let's get with God. Let's get in the presence of God. Let's be a good host of the presence of God. Let's lay aside all the hindrances and encumbrances to hosting the presence of God, so that we can then take this great anointing that's coming, this great explosion that comes up when the derricks are pushed aside, when the rock is shattered, when the divine power that's in that vein of coal comes out. We'll take a city. We'll start here on the west, and we'll come. And we'll have a Westgate Revival. It's already named. I just named it. Do you want to be part of the Westgate Revival? Do you want to be part of the End Times Revival? Do you want to be more than you ever thought and ever hoped you could be? In your wildest dreams, that's a starting point for God. By His grace, I hope He finishes it.
Father, move in our midst, I pray, in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that you're a God who's on the move, that you're not a static God. You're not a God who sits still and in comfort and in peace, and you don't want your people to either. You know, we can thank God that God wants to take us the whole way. Let me illustrate it by this. When we come to Christ, what happens is that we are taken. Now, and this is supernatural stuff. This is from the book of Ephesians. You can read about it in Ephesians chapter 4. You can read about it in Psalm 68. In fact, what I'd like you to do this week is to read the first chapter of each of Paul's main epistles. It's exciting stuff, because what he does in each of the first chapters is this one phrase that's in each one. He says, I give thanks to God for you. Okay? That's what he said. Now, he's not just giving thanks because it's Barbara and it's Phil and they've become followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not just that he's done that. What has happened is that God has transformed us from the inside out. We're new people, you see. We're not who we used to be. He can put a bracelet on, if you like. That's not going to scar us. It's a love act that he wants to do on our lives. And so it's going to fit perfectly because it's God who's doing the fitting, you see. He loves you. My goodness. God loves you. He really does. God loves you. God loves you. God will provide you with everything you need. He doesn't want you to live in Scarface land. He wants you to live in bracelet land, wearing something that fits you perfectly because he made it for you. Okay? That's what he wants to do. So now, all right, that's just a start though. Because what the Bible tells us, Ephesians 4 and Psalm 68, is that we come to faith in Christ, and we're in Christ. And what the Bible tells us is that Christ takes us and he makes a gift of us. I've talked about this before, but I feel that I need to say it again so that we grasp it and run with it. See yourself as a gift of Christ to God, because that's what the Word says about you. That's what the Word says. That a gift is made of you to God. And Paul, when he picks up that picture from the Old Testament, Psalm 68, he's reminding everybody of something that happens in the Roman world. That's what a general does when he comes back from making conquest. He makes a gift of all that has been conquered to Caesar. But Paul is saying something much greater than that picture is here. It's happening in the spirit, because what is happening is that all of the scars that you've carried around, all of the stuff that has bothered you, all of the stuff that has controlled you, the stuff that has enslaved you, right? The angers, the disappointments, the disillusionments that have angered you, that have caused scar tissue in your life. He takes you and he presents you to God. It's gone. And what he does is he turns around and he presents you to his church. Romans 12 verse 5 says that we are many, but we are all of one body, this church, and each part belongs to the other. Not too sure about that, but each part belongs to the other. But I've got to accept that, because that's what God says. You belong to me, I belong to you. We are one of another. Right, but God has the store. Right, just think about it. You've got God, and God is eternal. Does that mean there's any limits on God? No. It means that there is no challenge too great for God. There might be, 6 billion, 5 billion, 4 billion people? I'm not sure now anymore how many people live on the face of this earth. But God has enough for every single one of them, because he is an eternal God. He is a limitless God. He's before the beginning. He's after the end. Right? He's a limitless God. So what that means is that what God designed you for, he's got the stuff to make that happen for you. Right? So he has these gifts that John talked about, these gifts and these abilities and these talents that he has for you uniquely. They're not for me. They're for you. Right? They're for you. I have mine, you have yours. But we're all part of the same body, and we belong to each other. And so therefore, we're sharing with each other with these gifts. Right? It's some people are probably going, well, I don't follow where he's going. Well, just reach out to God. Reach out to God, because it is supernatural stuff. This is some of the beyond that John is talking about. Right? Paul understood it, and it was part of his apostolic doctrine to the church. Now, on Monday, I was at a pastor's gathering, and one of the pastors who looked most unlikely, he's got a kind of a scowly face. He doesn't say much. He's very quiet. Some people would say he actually looks unfriendly, right? But anyway, this guy, God moved through him, which shows that God uses anybody, right? Doesn't matter what we look like. It matters how open we are to Him, to His transformation of our lives. And so He brought a message in tongues. 1 Corinthians, read about it. It's there. Don't freak out by it. Yep, message in tongues. He brought a message in tongues. Now, what happens when a message in tongues comes is that often individuals like, say, Mike or Jody or John or Judah will get the interpretation. And they'll stand up maybe, or they'll stay seated, and they'll bring that message. They'll interpret that message so that we understand what was said in the tongue. Okay? I could go further and explain more, but we'll just leave it at that. But at the same time, what happens when a tongue message comes is that individuals will often receive stuff in their hearts that's just for them. Oh, you've had all this teaching. The stuff that God has just for them, it'll be in their hearts as a result of that tongue message being spoken. And so anyway, this guy speaks this tongue message, and I hear it, and the word that comes into my heart was for me, was the word reticent. Because you see, yeah, my shackles have been broken off, right? Your shackles have been broken off, right? And we can say, we can stay at broken off shackle country. And we can look around and say, there's that broken off shackle, there's that broken off shackle. But God does not want that. God wants us to move on into the new things that He has got for us. And we're not to be reticent about that. We become a little comfortable because you see, our lives have changed, and it's sweeter than the day before. We used to sing that song. It's sweeter than the day before. And it is, right? It's sweeter than the day before. But there's a day after that. And there's a day after that. And our eternal God and His mercies are new every morning. You see? And so He has something new every day for us. We might be butting our head against a brick wall today, but He has something new for us which will see us through the brick wall. Am I making sense to you? There's more. God has more. God wants to pour more into your lives. So I'm thinking about reticence. And what came to me was a number of years ago, when I was still running instead of walking, I guess it was running, I decided that, you know, I'd had a little bit of trouble with one of my feet, and I was just going to run through whatever was what was happening with my foot. And I didn't understand that a very small stone had got into the ball of my foot. And it was becoming part of my foot. So there's a callus down there now, and underneath all of that, there's this little stone. And so what happens from time to time is that if I step on the wrong thing, that was a pretty good changeover, Tim. Very slick. Tim's got to go to work. But if I step on a stone and that pressures the stone that's in the base of my foot, and have you ever had anything like that happen? You know, where you stumble and you know, I can go to a doctor and I can get that tiny little thing taken out, but I never have. I never have. Well, God wants to take the tiny little thing even out of our lives so that those stumbles never happen again. And we're not to be reticent about it. Understand? We're not to be reticent. Don't be reticent. Don't be reticent. God has got stuff for you that is just magnificent and wonderful, and He wants to give it to you. He wants to, because you've been presented to God by Christ, and He wants to turn around and He wants to give you to His body, a part of one another, and the gifts and talents and abilities that you have are going to, they're given for the purpose of mission. They're given for the purpose of building people up, telling them about Jesus, setting them free, seeing a repetitive thing take place, the thing that's taken place in our lives, the shackles have been broken off, right? He wants us to be able to share that with others and build each other up. Those are the two things really that we've been gifted for, to see others set free, to see heaven come to earth, and to see people released. Beautiful. So look, I'd like you to stand, and Liz now is going to lead us in another song. What's it called, Liz? Is it I Will Exalt You? Yeah, it's I Will Exalt You. And as we sing it, can I ask you to sing with this understanding in your heart that God has got more, all right? That God wants to give you more, that God wants to pour Himself into you so that you have more, so that you have what God wants for you, so that we're not reticent, we're not kind of trapped at that place of deliverance. We're not trapped at that place even of shackles being broken. We're not trapped at that place where anger maybe dominates us, or where hope has gone out in our lives. The lights have gone out, as it were, and hope has disappeared. That's not where He wants us to be. He wants this morning to see you delivered, to see you refreshed, to see you renewed, to deliver more of His talents and abilities into your life so that He's able to work with you. Who could not want that from God, eh? Who could not want that from God? Let's stand up, and as we're singing this song, let's just say, more God. Let's just see that picture that John gave to us of boldly taking a hold of Anthony and saying, give it to me. Well, no, it was like this, wasn't it? This, give it to me, right? No, over here, like that, all right? Give it to me. I want it, I want it. And the other hand's on top of the head, right? There's the picture that he told us about. Give it to me, give it to me. See that in your minds. You want more. Give it to me, give it to me. Amen? Exalt the Lord our God.